Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Community In Depth. Oh, my goodness. We are going to go in depth with a family. That's right. A husband and wife who happen to be in the same field. And it's a very important field. It is the field of physical and occupational therapy. And I know that maybe it's a preventative thing that people do. Maybe it is after a fall that you need the services. But it's very important to look into this. And we're going to learn more from Aaron Wickbold, who has been very faithful in his ongoing presentations to us. He is a physical therapist and he's a supervisor at Alina Courage Kinney. And he is here today with Teresa Wickbold. She is an occupational therapist. She's also an assistant professor at St. Catharines University. And she is going to be doing some floating work at Courage Kinney as well. So I know both of you individually, and to see you together makes me so happy. First of all, how have you been?
It's been great. Yeah, life's been great. It's interesting to be in the studio together, but it's great to be here. And from a personal standpoint, we have three children together and we're managing two careers. So life is good. It's busy.
I bet it is. So, Teresa, many people would know your maiden name, Humbert. And yes, actually, yeah. We are sitting in the studio is a former Humbert Dental Office. Yes. Good gravy.
Yep. It hopefully all comes
this
full
is,
circle.
It does. Hopefully this is much less painful for you being
yes,
here.
Yes.
But it's pretty cool. You are in this field mm-hmm. of occupational therapy. So you yeah. two met, actually. You have a very interesting story. Would you tell us, please?
Yeah. Yeah, we actually both went to do our schooling in different locations. So I was at Creighton University and he was at St. Scholastica for our occupational therapy and physical therapy training, and actually met on our clinical rotations. So part of your schooling is the coursework you do in the classroom, and then you're assigned to go to a clinic, hospital, outpatient place, maybe working with kids somewhere else. And we both decided to travel and leave our home states, I guess, his Minnesota for St. Scholastica and me Nebraska for Creighton. And we met in Oklahoma City on our clinical rotations. We had a mutual friend that introduced us. It was part of our kind of therapy education that we met each other even.
What do you think about that, Aaron?
I would say it was pretty great.
Good answer.
We met traveling and then we grew closer together when we were in school, and then we ended up traveling as professionals once we graduated, and we traveled the country for 4 years after that as well, and we lived in California and Washington, Arizona, and Boston, Massachusetts. So yeah, that's how we started our relationship was traveling and continued on, and then
We settled here
about 8 years ago.
So when you're a traveling therapist, is it you're assigned a certain period of time somewhere? Are you filling in for somebody that's out, or how does that work?
Yeah, it can sometimes be a maternity leave, or maybe the position has just been vacant long enough that they're desiring to have someone come intermittently. So we would be there anywhere from 3 months. There were certain places we just kept renewing and we stayed for 9 months. We tried to escape the Midwest in the winter. We were pretty successful in that, but we moved 13 times in 4 years, and sometimes even worked together. So that's coming full circle also, because we would do evaluations together. We worked in nursing homes, hospitals, and would work with each other sometimes, and sometimes would be at different facilities.
Oh, that is so cool.
Yeah.
So physical therapy and occupational therapy differ how?
So I would say the main difference would be in a hospital, physical therapy is mostly looking at gross motor, meaning legs, walking ability, an ability to do stairs, if we wanted to break it down really simplistically. And then occupational therapy would be looking more at cognition and then also fine motor tasks.
Yeah, and daily living skills. So as an occupational therapist across all settings, our bread and butter is getting you back to those things that occupy your time from when you wake up to when you go to sleep. So that could be as simple as getting your socks on, but it could be as complex as driving, mobility in a wheelchair, and it could be return to work, tasks like handwriting for kiddos. So across the gamut, kind of a lot of things.
And what is the average age of your patients? I mean, is it across the board from young to old?
At the clinic here in town, we see everything from newborns.
What kind of issues do newborns have?
Well, newborns, torticollis can be a common diagnosis. I'm not the pediatric therapist, so I'm probably not the best person to ask, but any type of hypotonicity, meaning just lack of muscle strength. Teresa, you have peds experience.
Yeah, you might see a physical or an occupational therapist if we're not talking Courage Kinney here in town. You might see a therapist in a school setting, in a NICU. Both of our professions are present in the NICU for positioning. Developmental disabilities, so especially for OT in the school system, for kiddos that have developmental disabilities, congenital congenital, like Down syndrome, cerebral palsy, things like that, all the way to the end of life. So what I find really neat, especially for the OT profession and what I teach my students at St. Kate's, is how you take care of someone in their final days of life too. So it really is across the lifespan. A really neat opportunity. I find it really special to be able to witness kind of being available to people in illness or injury across the entire lifespan. And then you can kind of choose your niche and what really is your specialty and interest. For Aaron, that's right, sports and orthopedics, and that's kind of his specialty. And certainly mine has lent towards wheelchair seating and assessment, but also older adults, and then education now that I have taken a teaching position. So
let's talk about wheelchair seating. You actually teach a clinic on this.
Yeah, so my students in the classroom learn about it, but across the Allina system and certainly other healthcare systems, they have wheelchair seating and positioning clinics. So those are people that have chosen to do additional training, whether it's a formal certification or just informal education, and taking time and interest in the topic to help people that need to have a wheelchair as a means of mobility. And that's a service that we're going to start to provide at the Courage Kenny location here in Hastings.
Well, that's really interesting. So what does that actually mean?
Yeah, so if someone has a mobility impairment, and I want to expand that, that doesn't have to be a physical, just walking impairment. Some people need a use of a wheelchair because they have a cardiovascular limitation. So that could be, you know, breathlessness, an issue with your heart, swelling in your legs, things like that. If mobility is troublesome or taxing and an extreme effort, having a therapist involved in helping you decide what type of wheelchair, the best fit, and all of the accessories is what would happen at a wheelchair seating assessment.
So would they first go to Aaron's group and try to rehab on their own? Because I would assume being in a wheelchair is not the first thing that you would go to. You would try to get stronger or whatever?
Possibly. And possibly they could be receiving physical therapy services at the same time as they're being seated for a wheelchair. It just depends on the case. It depends on the severity of what happened to them, whatever accident it was. Mm-hmm. And so usually we work really close together. And the new team, the new wheelchair positioning team, is going to consist of two occupational therapists to start with. But then we're also going to have two physical therapists that are going to be joining the team as well.
So when somebody comes to you, how do you know that they are ready for a wheelchair? Yeah. Because I would assume it's a progression from Aaron's group that you can't quite get your mobility back or your stability back. And then how do you know if you should have a cane or if you should perhaps have a walker versus a wheelchair?
Yeah. So with insurance or medical necessity, right, any device we prescribe has to be medically necessary.
Boo!
I know.
Insurance is
A life without insurance.
It's such a bummer for your industry. I mean, because what you're doing is trying to help people. And I know that that's supposedly what the insurance companies are doing as well.
Right. And so, you know, there's that continuum, right, of restoration all the way to compensation of like how we help you as therapists and, you know, in collaboration with your doctor for at what point is it becoming unsafe? I think safety is a huge issue in making that determination of moving without any external device to a cane, to a walker.
But is it the person that usually self-identifies though, or is it somebody else?
I would say it's usually family members that usually identify it. I think there's a different setting. So if there's a stroke, let's say someone has a stroke and it's an immediate decline, that's a little different. You're able to self-identify
or
a little
fall
better.
Or
a fall where you break a bone. Yes, that would be something where that person's able to self-identify a little easier. If it's more of a gradual thing where it's happening over years, let's say someone has Parkinson's or another degenerative disease, that's going to be a little bit more convincing from the family or health professionals that they need to be recommended a device. And that conversation usually lasts longer because you're trying to convince someone to utilize a cane or a walker or walking sticks or potentially a wheelchair for safer mobility.
Yeah, and from a qualification standpoint, when you get to the point of considering a wheelchair, and that can be as simple as a very simple wheelchair that we all see maybe sitting outside of the Allina Medical Clinic available for us to pick up, any of us to pick up and use, all the way to a power wheelchair that someone with a spinal cord injury that all has to qualify based on not needing the previous devices. So, and it has to be your primary means of mobility. So we can't, you know, justify a wheelchair for a here and there use, but it really relies on that progression from restoration all the way to compensation. Do you need it for your, as your primary and only means of mobility? So that's where a really good therapy team in conjunction with a doctor comes into play. Getting a wheelchair seating assessment still requires, you know, a doctor's order. Certainly, Aaron and his team at Courage Kenny could be seeing someone for therapy. They might not have any idea or might not be self-identifying that they might be appropriate or that it's time for a wheelchair. They might identify and have that initial conversation. Or maybe you're at home and you're thinking, this is very indicative. This is a conversation of somebody in my life that might need a wheelchair. You could start that conversation and then just reach out to their general practitioner, doctor. The physical therapists seeing the patient on the regular side of the clinic could say, you know, I think you should go see Teresa and Maddie in the wheelchair seating clinic. Is it okay if I call your doctor and ask for a referral? Or you could do that from the comfort of your living room for yourself or someone in your family.
It's a pretty big change, though, for people. And if you're talking about people that are still in their home, there's a lot of modifications, I would assume, that go along with that. Yeah. Is that something you could help people with, point them in the right direction?
Right, right. So occupational therapists play a huge part in home modification evaluations. Many times that happens under the umbrella of receiving home care. So some people might opt, if they're wondering about the safety of their home, do they need grab bars? Do they need a ramp installed now that they're using a wheelchair? Does the wheelchair fit through the doors? Because my goodness, we don't want to give you something that doesn't even fit into your bathroom. You could ask your doctor if you think you qualify for home care and get a home safety evaluation, or rest assured, if you're out in the community doing things and you don't qualify for home care, part of the wheelchair seating assessment visit is having you try things in the clinic that might simulate those tight spaces in your home. And if we think it's necessary, a equipment specialist will come to your house and actually have you try before your insurance buys the equipment. So they'll actually come to your house with the equipment and have you move around in it so that there can be some assurance that what you're getting is going to work in your personal environment, right?
And I know that a lot of times people are in a big, giant wheelchair and they don't even need one that big.
Right.
Right. You can be fit for one,
yes,
right?
Yes, specialty fitted. So that's where I would say if you're going to be a long-term wheelchair user, that I really encourage people to have a therapy assessment, period, to come in and have a therapist involved in your care, because we can look at those activities of daily living. How is the wheelchair going to help or hinder you in getting dressed, approaching your cabinets to make your meals, getting in and out of the chair itself? Can you actually transfer, we call it, on and off of the chair to the toilet and things like that? And to try not to go the route of, you know, trusting just an equipment vendor, even though there's some great vendors out there. Some might just run your insurance card and send it to you without ever laying eyes on you. That happens, unfortunately. So to have a therapist involved is really important.
And is that something you need to ask for?
Yeah, yeah. So having that seating assessment is considered an outpatient therapy service. So call the back of your insurance card, ask if a seating assessment or an outpatient therapy visit would be covered, and then just ask your doctor.
What are you looking for when you assess people? What exactly do you look for?
Yeah. So initially, it's kind of just asking about their limitations on a daily standpoint. What's important to them? What activities are you hoping a mobility device will help you do easier or with less effort? So getting their motivations and their kind of, we call it an OT, an occupational profile. What's important to the person that we're working with so that the wheelchair can be individualized? Then certainly I'm looking at range of motion. How are your arms working? How are your legs working? I'm going to have you attempt to walk if that's still a skill that you have, so I can see with my own eyes how effortful it is, how difficult it is, and then do some pushing and trying of different wheelchairs in the clinic. So like I said, with the world of insurance we live in, I have to justify for each person I see that you can't use and push a regular wheelchair and why it's necessary you have, say, an electric wheelchair. So kind of going through all the body systems everywhere from how your arms and legs move and joints, your pain levels and your cardiovascular system. how tired you are, take your blood pressure, see how you do with those things in the clinic. The visit is typically, it's a little bit longer than a regular therapy visit just because it's an assessment, and I would say would be around an hour 15 minutes to get all that information in one place.
And Erin, I know you're a big proponent of us trying to stay as healthy as we can for as long as we can. Is this where you harp on how important it is to stay strong?
Absolutely. But at the same time, if it's a reality that you need a wheelchair, I've had a lot of clients that really resist it and they think that
they're
giving up.
Why is that? I mean, I think I would probably resist it too. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's out of vanity or it's just so life changing or a combination.
I think it's probably a combination, and I think really a lot of what I see is just some people think it's giving up. I don't view it as giving up because what I see is sometimes people, they're able to walk a short distance. Let's say they can walk 5 or 10 feet, and we'll continue to work with that individual to get them to be able to transfer in their home. But if they're not able to walk in the community, they're really losing out on a part of their life. And getting a custom wheelchair really gets them out in the community, gets them able to participate in a lot of different activities that they're not able to participate in, really helps with their mental health. And so we have to be realistic with our expectations. And really that's kind of our job as physical therapists too, is that we want to strive to make the most improvements that we can, but there is a time when we need to use resources like this where we can maximize their satisfaction with their life.
Well, it really is a great service that you're going to be offering at the Courage Kinney Center.
Yeah. And I do think one of the motivations for us to bring this service down to Hastings is that there are existing wheelchair seating clinics, but because of, lest we mention it again, insurance and paperwork and the process, from the time you see a wheelchair seating specialist like myself to the point where the device can end up in your home is unfortunately lengthy. It's something we have great work to do on from an advocacy standpoint when it comes to Medicare or any insurance, right? How long it takes for a device to end up on your doorstep can sometimes be anywhere from 2 to 6 months. So my motivation when I approached Erin and the previous supervisor at Courage Kinney is right now the waiting times at other wheelchair seating clinics in the Allina system are 4 to 6 weeks. So now we're taking a process that already takes 2 to 6 months and adding another 4 to 6. And the part I can control is let's provide more seating clinics so that we can at least have control over that initial part and get those assessments done so that people can get their equipment sooner.
We were in the initial phases of planning this, and so we're hoping to have this come by late fall, early winter. That's when we're shooting to do this. But you can always call our clinic to ask to see if there are appointments available. The nearest clinic right now is Stillwater, the Allina Stillwater Clinic, Courage Kinney, and Golden Valley.
And if you need an assessment in the meantime before we get up and running, certainly Erin and I are keyed into the Allina system just because we've been employees of theirs for so long. There are outpatient seating clinics. So you could start this process and be asked to be sent somewhere else before we get up and running. Also, the Allina home care team, they have wheelchair seating specialists. So if you're being seen by Allina Home Care right now, there's a really great group of folks, and I used to be on that team, that can actually do an assessment right in your home if you're already receiving home care services. So there's some options in the meantime, but would love, once it gets up and running, to serve.
Yeah. Well, good. What's a good phone number?
The main clinic phone number for Courage Kinney is 651-404-1002. From there, you'll be directed to any of the services that we provide, whether it's orthopedic or neurological, or we have pool therapy at our clinic as well. So all of the different services can be accessed through that number.
This is just great. We want to thank our guests, Erin Wickbolt and also Teresa Wickbolt. Wheelchair seating assessment clinics are coming to the Courage Kinney in Hastings. So give them a call at 651-404-1002. Great to see both of you. And you are listening to another edition of Community in Depth on AM 1460 and FM 97.7 KDWA in Hastings.